Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's day three of the draft, and we're breaking it all down with John Chuckery and Hugh Douglas on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Chuckery, Hugh Douglas hanging out with you on an NFL draft Saturday. One more hour to go. Don't forget the radio.com app is where you listen to us when you're outside of the car. We know you're not spending as much time there, so download that on your device to be able to hear us anywhere that you are. Social media for the station, it's all at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us there if you would, 404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can leave us a comment on there. Best way to keep up with us, follow us through our social media pages. He is at BigHugh53. I am at JMCH316. We're going to pick Hugh's brain here in just one second. But, Hugh, did you see that a Georgia Tech player got drafted, pick number 206 in the sixth round? Tyler Davis, the tight end for Georgia Tech, got drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars. How about that?
Congratulations to him, man. Now we got to – did Rodrigo get drafted yet? If not, we got to get him drafted now.
I have not seen, but the kicker out of Georgia Southern got drafted by the Buffalo Bills. I did see that. Tyler Bass got drafted by the Buffalo Bills out of Georgia Southern, so I did see him. But I have not seen Rodrigo's name yet. There have been, by the way, a couple of kickers drafted. We just talked about the kid out of Georgia Southern. The kicker out of Marshall was drafted in the fifth round, if you can believe that. I don't know if any punters have been drafted, but I know for sure we've had at least two kickers that I saw that have been drafted. And shout out to a couple of Bulldogs. I mean, obviously earlier today, Solomon Kinley, a guy that I had a chance to talk to you, was drafted earlier today in the fourth round by the Dolphins. And then Charlie Werner was drafted as well, tight end from Georgia. And I'm trying to remember where he went, but I saw that he was drafted as well. So lots of kids from the local teams getting drafted right now.
Congratulations to them, man. It's a beautiful thing to get drafted, have your name called on draft day. It's a beautiful thing.
Speaking of having your name called, let's do something that we call Pick Hugh's Brain. 10 questions for our first-round NFL draft pick, Hugh Douglas. I don't have my full paragraph, but I know you're the man that starred in Happy Birthday, Harris Mauldin. You're the man who ruined Jim Miller's NFL career. You were this close to being free and clear of not any more payments. You get to work with John Freaky every day now from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. So lots of good stuff here. So we got 10 questions. Here we go. Hugh, first question. Your instant reaction when you heard your name being drafted. Instant reaction when you heard your name being drafted.
I wanted to say no. Like, they asked me, did I want to play for the Jets? I honestly wanted to say no. But, you know, coming from the school that I came from, I didn't have a choice. So I said, yeah. But that was my first reaction when they said, hey, you want to play for the Jets? I wanted to say no.
Wow. Wouldn't that have been a change?
Ungrateful. Ungrateful. You ungrateful SOB.
Petty.
Yeah.
Not petty. Yeah. Just petty. Yeah. Petty.
But I just never thought of myself playing for the Jets, to be totally honest. I loved it when I was there. But, you know, that was coming from a small town. So, you know, right. No disrespect to New York. Just never been there and didn't know what to expect.
Rank them. Scotch, bourbon, cognac, dark rum. Scotch, bourbon, cognac, dark rum.
I would probably go basically, okay, yak first. Bourbon, scotch, and then rum. Really haven't had too much good rum, though.
So you hate rum. What did rum do to you? What is it about dark rum?
You know what?
You
haven't had
so
too much dark. You know what, Chuck? I need to find some good dark rum. I haven't had any. That's probably the biggest thing.
I'll turn you on to a couple. I like dark rum. I'll help you out on that. You're going to start your NBA franchise with one of the great, like, second fiddle number two guys. It's in honor of The Last Dance. It's been on last weekend and coming up this weekend as well. So you can start your franchise with one of these four guys, NBA franchise. James Worthy, Scottie Pippen, Kevin McHale, or Joe Dumars. Which one you taking?
I got to go Scottie. I got to go Scottie because Scottie came in hungry. Scottie wanted to be number one until he really got there, and then he realized that he wasn't going to be. So I'll go Scottie.
Why do you hate James Worthy and Kevin McHale?
I don't hate any of those guys, but you know what it is? It's like I'm a prisoner of the moment, and right now the moment is about the Chicago Bulls, and that's probably mostly why.
You can just say you hate him. I get it. I understand.
Not at all.
Okay. Yep, sounds like it. Worst stadium to play in the NFL? Worst stadium to play in the NFL?
I would probably have to say, but they renovated it. Was that the Bears Stadium? Hallis, what is it?
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was horrible. Yeah. Soldier Field. Hallis Field. I was about to say, but yeah, Soldier Field was terrible. Terrible.
Wow. What was it? It's just old and what was it?
It was old. We played there right before they renovated it, and as a matter of fact, when we played in the playoffs, the Jim Miller game, we beat them, and it was really, really cold, and they cut the showers off. They cut the cold hot water off. That's what I remember about that. And it was just a terrible place.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What game, like on a gaming system, what game does everybody love and play that you don't like?
Madden.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a Madden fan. I mean, I can't play. That's probably the biggest reason why I'm not a fan, because I can't play. But that's the one game that everybody asks me, hey, man, do you play Madden? Can't play it. Don't like it.
Do NFL guys, by and large, like Madden? Like, I don't. What's the feeling amongst guys? I mean, I know guys get angry about their Madden rating and stuff like that. But, I mean, do NFL guys in the circle, do they like playing football games and stuff like that? Or is it like, hell, I lived it, I don't need to play it?
Most guys like to play. Most guys like to play. I am not one of those guys. I never did. You know, maybe because when I was in college, I didn't have a gaming system, and I was probably a little jealous of the guys that did have one. Maybe that was part of it. But, no, I never played.
Picking Hugh's brain here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we're waiting for the Falcons draft pick. We're up to pick number 210, so we got a little bit yet to go. Best dressed coach that you remember? Best dressed coach?
Football coach?
Sure.
None. Cause
really?
Most football coaches don't really know how to dress that well. They don't. They're not like, you know. Now, if you ask me the best dressed coach that I know now, I'll have to say hands down, Coach Pierce, Coach Lloyd Pierce, kills the dress game. But anybody outside of that, like in football, have you seen the head coaches on Sunday?
This was in honor of Andy Reid and his, you know, Tommy Bahama shirts that he's been wearing.
Couldn't dress. Big Red did the best that he could under the circumstance. Big Red was too busy trying to coach.
Right. Somebody bought his wife bought his clothes for him.
She probably did just the bare minimum because Coach wasn't really about that life. He wasn't about that dress life.
When you were on one of your teams, who was the guy that was drafted in the first round that you were most excited about coming to your team? Like, you were like, oh man, we drafted that guy? Was there one of those kinds of moments when you played?
I would probably have to say Corey Simon.
Oh, okay.
Corey Simon, and that quickly changed when Corey Simon got there. Because Corey's a good dude. Me and Corey talk all the time, but I remember.
What's Corey's Twitter handle? Because, wow.
No, because
Corey saved this audio.
No, Corey will tell you the story. Corey got there. Corey wore 53 when he was in college. He wore 53.
Whew.
And Corey, I remember he walked past me one day, and he said, yo, let me go ahead and get that 53 because you ain't going to take it to the Pro Bowl. And I was like, what? Just like that. But I got to say Corey a little fire to me because after that, I went to the Pro Bowl because he ran me hot because he was trying to get the number, and and that was his way of lighting the fire under me.
All right, rank them: Terrell Owens, Randy Moss, Isaac Bruce, Marvin Harrison. Terrell Owens, Randy Moss, Isaac Bruce, Marvin Harrison.
That's a tough one, man, because you're talking about an era. I played against all. I was in the air with all those guys.
Yeah,
but I would have to say,
I'm fairly smart. I remember that. Yeah.
I would have to say, I got to go T.O. first because I saw him firsthand, and Randy Moss is a close second. Man, but and no disrespect to the order that I'm putting these guys in because they're all great receivers. Huh? Marvin Harrison, Isaac Bruce.
Bruce is fourth.
Yes.
So what was it about him that you hated him?
Well, you know, firsthand, you know, I played with T.O., you know, and got to know him a little bit. So I would say he has to be number one because that's a teammate.
Okay.
And the other guys like Randy Moss played against him, and I don't remember, you know, him having great games. Like he didn't have great games against us. I remember that. But got to get an eye to T.O., man, and what he did. T.O. was the dude. Bruce.
Well, the question was why you hate Isaac Bruce.
I know what the question was, and I was trying to ignore you a little bit because I don't hate Isaac Bruce.
Right.
It's just that, you know, he was a great receiver.
Obviously,
man.
You think very highly of him. You don't even put
you
him
know,
in the top
but,
three.
But
I mean,
but to
so,
me, yeah. when he was with those Rams team, to me, honestly, I thought Torrey Holt
thought
was a better
overrated,
receiver.
You thought he was overrated, didn't you? Yeah, you thought he was overrated, didn't you?
Boy, you have a way of putting words in my mouth.
What? No, you can say it. It's okay. I mean,
no,
just say
he
what
was
you
definitely
feel.
Definitely wasn't
it's,
overrated.
It's radio.
Definitely wasn't overrated. I mean, definitely wasn't overrated.
Okay. But you do hate him.
Nah, don't hate him at all. Great guy.
All right. Well, at least he's last. He ain't first, you're last. Make sure you put him last. All right, two last questions, Hugh. If there was a movie about the morning show, who would play you, Freaky, Abe, and Orin?
Boy, that's a good one. Who would play me? You know what, Chuck? I hate to beat it, but I'll have to probably leave that up to the listeners because I don't know. I mean, that's a tough one. Abe would definitely be somebody a little quirky. Orin would be.
Who would play Orin the Lambda Lambda Lambda? Who would play
who
him?
Who would be Orin? See, I can't remember the guy's name. He played. I can't remember the name. I can't remember the name of the movie. But he had an afro. He was an Australian guy. And he had glasses. It was in a Neighborhood Watch movie. It was like a sci-fi kind of movie with I can't even remember the name of the people that were in it. But he would definitely be that. I can't think of the guy's name.
You any thought on who would play John Freaky? Like who would play him? Like Jimmy Stewart or somebody? I don't know who.
More than likely somebody a little bit older.
Yeah.
Somebody a little bit older.
A lot older. Probably somebody dead. All right, last question here. You and Sheba are getting away to celebrate an anniversary. Camping in the woods? Long scenic train ride to the big city? Dinner on a yacht? Or hitting cities on a private plane?
Richard Oyoye. Richard Oyoye Day. That's who Orin would play. I'm not paying attention to you. Richard Oyoye Day. Okay. That's his name.
Okay. And Sheba on an anniversary, camping in the woods, long scenic train ride to the big city, dinner on a yacht, or flying to some different cities on a private plane. Which one are you taking her on?
Flying to different cities on a private plane. Just because it's you.
Nice. Wow. Okay. Let's see.
As far as John Freaky is concerned, who would I get to play John Freaky?
Hey, Jahi, do you have the audio of this? Let's see. At Sheba Russell.
Stop it, man.
What happened? What did I miss? What did I miss? What happened? Was there something going on? Are we still on air?
You to start in trouble. Yeah, you start in trouble.
Oh. Yeah, think about that. Text us or tweet us. Hugh, Freaky, Abe, and Orin. Who would play those guys in a movie? If we had a movie about the morning show.
Yeah, that would be pretty interesting.
Okay, when we get back, we'll probably have the Falcons pick. We're up to pick number 212, so we should be getting that pick very shortly here. We'll kind of recap and take a look back at what the Falcons have done on this draft weekend. It is John Chuckery. It is Hugh Douglas hanging out with you on an NFL Draft Saturday, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in NFL Draft Saturday afternoon. John Chuckery, Hugh Douglas, hanging out with you going until 6 o'clock tonight. 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you want to leave us a comment. We got a lot of people, actually, Hugh, leaving us a comment about who would play y'all in a movie if there was one that was out there. We'll read a few of those as well. Follow the station on social media at 929thegame. Download the radio.com app. In today's world, when you're not as much spending as much time in the car, it's the great new cool way to listen to us anywhere you may be. On your smartphone, your smart speakers, your turntable, your boombox, your Commodore 64, your Sega Genesis, whatever you got for a device, just download it on to that. Follow us on social media. It's the best way to keep up with us. He's at BigHugh53. I am at JMCH316. We're up to pick number, looks like 215, so just waiting to see what the Atlanta Falcons will do with this seventh-round pick. You know, Hugh, if you had to, you know, I'm sure Freaky and Abe will have you guys do grades, you know, on Monday with the draft and everything like that. But just kind of so far with what you've seen in the five picks, kind of how would you describe the Falcons' draft thus far?
I would describe it as pretty good. I would describe it as pretty good. They've addressed some needs. Wondering what they're going to do with that last pick, though. Definitely wondering what they're going to do with that last pick. Kind of went the way that I thought it was going to go, in the sense that they were going to go defensive. You know, so it kind of went that way. Got a guard in, what, the third round. So was a little bit surprised about that, but kind of went the way that we thought it was going to go.
Yeah, I think as I look at it, Hugh, I would say that they helped address what were big needs, you know, for this team. They needed another defensive lineman that could help them get to the quarterback and create some havoc. They've got that in Davidson. They certainly needed a corner. They had to get somebody who could come in play, ideally right away, and they got that in the first round. They do have another offensive lineman, and to be honest with you, they have somebody who can play center. They didn't have another center, another actual center behind Alex Mack, so they have a guy that can do that. And they needed help at linebacker, and they've addressed that as well. And I thought safety was definitely on the board because, boy, after this year, there's going to be some real decisions about the safety position for this team, because I don't know if you're signing Cannon Needle a long-term deal. How much more does Ricardo Allen have in the tank? So I thought by and large, and listen, here's what I think too, Hugh, and I want to get your thoughts. You know, June 2nd, when that $10 million opens up from the Desmond Trufant money, I really do believe that they're going to make one more, you know, for lack of a better word, kind of, you know, name signing. I'm really hoping, you know, potentially either Golden, who was with the Giants that's been let go, or a Clay Matthews. But I'd like to see them sign, you know, a good starting veteran outside linebacker for this team. But I do think they've got one more move in them once June 2nd hits and the money opens up.
Yeah, that's a possibility, you know, because you're talking about, you know, trying to make this team better. And also, you're putting yourself in a position where, like, you're making a push. You know, whether you want to admit that or not, you know, I know you're big on saying exactly what you're trying to do. But I think that they're trying to make a push. So if you're trying to do that, the more depth that you can have defensively, that's going to help this defense out. Because I think you're kind of set offensively as far as the firepower and everything. But the more depth you can get over there on that defensive side, it's going to help you out tremendously.
Yeah, and I do think, you know, special teams is one of those things that they have to, you know, potentially figure out with the seventh round pick as well, to see if there's a guy. You know, they drafted, who was a Devin Fuller out of UCLA, who is one of the top punt and kick returners in the country. It never worked out because he was always injured. In fact, they ended up releasing him through injury settlement. He went on IR 2 years in a row. But that's the kind of guy that you're talking about, I think, when you're talking seventh round. You know, it could be another corner, it could be a running back, could be a wide receiver. But I do think that specifically maybe somebody that could, even though people want to tell you that there, you know, isn't that many kicks and punts returned and all that, there's still a need for that. If you have one of those kinds of dynamic guys, you know, it's a big deal if you can, you know, have your starting line of scrimmage, you know, be close to the 30. You look historically, playoff teams typically start around the 30-yard line. That's kind of that magic number. So I do think that's something seventh round, Hugh, that they will look at pretty hard.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about field position, and you're talking about the way that this offense was the year that they did go to the Super Bowl. Field position was not a huge factor back then, but you're talking about now, if you can get somebody that's going to put you at the 45 or the 50, that's a great place to start. You know, it makes it easy for the quarterback to do his job, and it takes a lot of pressure off your defense.
I tell you, there's a name that's out there that hasn't been drafted yet that I think could be a very good pick, and people may think I'm crazy, but for what you would ask him to do. K.J. Hill of the Ohio State Buckeyes is still out there, and I thought he'd have been long gone by now.
That's
He's
receiver,
one of the
right?
better route Yes, one of the better route runners. He'd be a slot wide receiver, and one, you know, he's not a guy that can play outside and get past everybody. But Hugh, you talk about an underneath guy, a slot wide receiver that can run past. You know, you put safeties and linebackers on him, he's going to run past all of those guys. And you know, he's Ohio State's all time leading receiver. I bet
that's what I was about to say.
He holds 100 people.
He holds a couple Ohio State records, doesn't he? He holds quite a few Ohio State records as far as in the receiving category.
Hey, listen, if the Falcons took a flyer on a guy like that, I'd love to see a guy like that get a shot to be a slot wide receiver on this team.
Yeah, that's not a bad pick. I mean, I think that when you talk about for what you're needing for, that's not a bad pick. And on top of that, Chuck, you're talking about a pretty versatile young man. He would probably be one of those guys that would be definitely a force to be reckoned with in that slot position. When you talk about all the other receivers that you have, it could be that smaller underneath guy. I'm sorry, I was just looking at some. I didn't check my Twitter feed, and people are asking me, I'm going who with where. John Chuckery, people, is just he's made this whole thing. I don't understand.
Why has it come back on to me, Hugh? What did I do?
Because it is on you because Chuck, you're the one that got all of this started.
Hold on. Did I tweet at you on Valentine's Day? Happy Valentine's Day with a heart.
But that was a friendly tweet. That was just a friendly
tweet. Oh, was it? With the heart? Okay. All right. Oh, okay. I don't remember Wendy or Lauren or any of them tweeting me with a heart, so I don't remember that. But I remember the Morning Rush tweeting at you with the heart. I saw it firsthand.
There
I remember
you go.
It.
You just I'm just saying. No, it ain't like that. It ain't like that. It ain't like that.
Okay. Why can't it be? Why is it always got to be no? Why is everything always got to be no around here? Why can't we get some yeses?
That's the world that we live in. No, no.
Oh, and to be fair, I keep forgetting you're a newlywed now. So Here we go with that one. What?
I'm just saying. Hold up. I just.
By the way, how is? I haven't asked you. How's the you know, quarantining and the you know what? You know, I'm going to try to go get my hair cut tomorrow. So I am going to try to go do that.
Hold up. I don't know if this is a real Jalen Hurts tweet, but I'm not going to even read this, but I just saw something where Jalen Hurts supposedly tweeted Carson Wentz, but I guess it's not him, so I'm going to leave that alone. But what you say about quarantining? What happened?
No, just how things going. I said I'm going to try to go get my hair cut tomorrow, actually.
Are you seriously going to go get your hair cut tomorrow?
Yeah.
Seriously.
You know, we're convinced that my daytime job, we're convinced. My boss and the other guy that works with me, we're convinced the three of us already had it. When we went through that stretch in like I think it was about mid-February. Do you remember when we had that all stations staff meeting and Rick Caffey was, you know, our general manager was there and he did the slideshow and all that? Do you remember when we had that? Remember that time? Okay. So I was like deathly ill during that week. And mm-hmm. I never get the flu, never. But I was out. I missed like 3 or 4 days of my day job, and we had like we had Teddy Long, the WWE Hall of Famer, in and his crew, and they were like, "God, you look like death warmed over." I mean, I felt terrible. We're all convinced that we had it. We're convinced because we spread it around to each other, and we were all out for like 3-4 days. And when I tell you, I couldn't get out of bed barely for like 3-4 days. We're convinced that we had it. So I think I've already I'm convinced I had China virus already. I'm convinced that
Chuck,
I had it back in February before it was a thing.
Dude, you can't be saying that,
what?
Man. You can't say Why? That. What you just said, you can't say that.
Why? Bill Maher said it right. If it was from Milan, they'd be calling it Milan virus. Listen, they call that MRSA and SARS and all that. What do you think the first two letters of those acronyms
Dude,
stand for?
You cannot
but.
Stop it. You can't say that, man. Stop
what?
It. Yes. Stop it. You know what I'm talking about. Stop it.
Okay. I'm just saying. I'm calling it what it is. So, but how's the quarantining life going for you, Hugh?
It's okay, you know. I mean, it's a little boring. You know, I've already offered to come to the studio at times. You know, I've already offered to come in to work because I know for some people, working at home is the bee's knees. For me,
no,
I'm kind of over
me.
It. Yeah, I'm kind of over it now. I'm seriously kind of overworking at home. I'm good. And I offered up the fact that, you know, hey, I'll come in if you need me to, because I look at it like this. Oren's going to be in one studio. I'll be in the next. So we're social distancing. I'll still be following the social distancing norms, you know. So I think I can pull it off. I'm about ready to pull it off, man, because I'm a little tired of, you know, even though, you know, you're still working, it doesn't feel like work. And for me.
No, I agree.
I can't be sedentary, man, because I'm getting a little fluffy over here, getting a little nervous. Scared to put these pants on because I don't know if they're going to fit or not. But, yeah, so I need to get back out in life. I definitely do.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And trust me, I'm ready to get back in studio and do the show. And just there's a different vibe and energy when you can be in studio and at least see somebody else that you're talking to, even if it's your producer behind the glass, just to see somebody. Now, you got John Freaky. So, I mean, you've got it good.
I don't see him, though. It's not like,
well, not right like now, you know, but
I'm looking
like,
at him.
I'm right here for you, Hugh. I'm not going, I'm here for you. And I want you to know that I'm quarantining for you.
Somebody said Ed Asner. Somebody said Ed Asner could play.
Well, that was Sean and them. That was Sean and them that were saying, you know, that for.
I was thinking.
I said Patrick Stewart or Ian McCallum.
Ian McCallum. I don't know who that is.
That's Professor X's Patrick Stewart or Captain Picard.
Oh,
and,
Ian McKellen.
Ian McCallum. Or Ian McKellen. Yeah, whatever. McCallum's
is John Freaky.
But, yeah. Yeah, that's a Magneto, the guy who played Magneto.
Yeah, Magneto. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, those two guys are between 70 and dead. That'd be of the right age to play Freaky.
That was a shot.
What?
If there ever was one. You just ain't gonna act right these last. You ain't gonna act right these last 30 minutes, huh? You just ain't gonna do it. You just refuse, huh?
Nah. Nah, man. It's 5:30 on a Saturday, man. What do you expect? You get what you pay for. Sorry, you know. I mean, what can I tell you? Listen, we gave you Gus Malzahn. We gave you Coach Collins. I mean, God Almighty.
So, what more do you want from me? Would you say
listen,
you gave me 3 hours of Sirius Radio?
I was going to say, we had the best three-hour show you could have had. Now you get the fourth hour, and this is like, you know, this is the bonus hour. So
what? I gave you three solid hours. So that's what you're going to say.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, however you handle this meeting that we're going to have, this virtual meeting, and we're going to have one, I'm with you, man. I'm going to ride with you till the wheels fall off. But you know they're going to call us. You know we're about to be at a meeting. So
with
that
fine.
Being said.
No, I expect it.
So with that
hey,
being
listen,
said.
The ratings were good. Listen,
I'm
we had good ratings on our show.
I am with you.
They can't complain too much.
I'm going to ride with you. I'm riding with you, man. But I'm just going to ride with my head down and I'm going to ride my Glock cocked and my head down and we just going, whatever happens, happens.
No, that's listen, I'm with you, win or tie. Have no fear.
Oh, yeah, there you go. There you go.
By the way, we are at pick 220 now in the NFL draft. So 228 is the pick for the Atlanta Falcons. So probably by the time we get back from break and everything like that, we'll probably be getting ready to have the Falcons draft pick. They'll be wrapping things up here. So we're getting toward the last little bits out there. There's still some very interesting names that are out there. So I'd be curious to see where the Falcons go. So we'll talk a little bit more about this Falcons draft. We'll have your seventh round pick for you when we get back for all of it. It's John Chuckery. It's Hugh Douglas. We're hanging out with you here on an NFL draft Saturday. It's Sports Radio 910 on the Game and on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 the Game. Welcome back in Saturday afternoon NFL draft. John Chuckery, Hugh Douglas, hanging out with you till the top of the hour, 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can follow us on Twitter, stations at 929TheGame. I'm at JMCH316. He's at BigHugh53. Watching the draft, Hugh, as we get down to these last few picks, one of the guys I wanted, KJ Hill, he just got drafted. I think it was the Jaguars, I said, that took him. I'm trying to remember. I just saw him get picked. Another guy that I would have been interested in that just got drafted, a very productive running back, Eno Benjamin. He just got taken by the Cardinals. So Jaguars are on the clock right now at pick 223. So we got, you know, about four or five more picks, and we'll be ready for the Falcons. So hopefully here we'll get it wrapped up. Honestly, it feels like right now this seventh round is taking longer than even the first or second round took for whatever reason.
Yeah, that's crazy because, you know, you talk about the first couple of nights of the draft, they were rolling. And I think part of that was because they didn't really do a whole lot of talking to GMs or anybody like that. They just kind of kept it real simple, you know, kept it moving. And that was about the gist of it.
You know, it's interesting to think about the draft. I thought, Hugh, that, you know, at least for the first maybe, I don't know, 20-some-odd picks, that everybody picked pretty well, that everybody picked pretty smart. And we heard so much going into the draft, and I thought it was nonsense myself, heard so much going into the draft about, oh, man, they don't have enough evaluation, and they're not getting enough, you know, this, that, and the other, and maybe they're scared. And I think, honestly, the fact that teams weren't calling, or maybe they were scared by the technology aspect of it, or they didn't get paralysis from analysis. You know, to me, I think the teams actually drafted smarter all the way through. I thought that they did a better job of picking in the first part of the draft.
Yeah, it just felt like it was a much ado about nothing. That's what it honestly felt like to me. It felt like, you know, everybody was griping and complaining about certain things that they thought that were going to be a part of the draft that weren't a part of the draft at all. You know, we heard a lot about, oh, well, they're not going to be able to look at Tua or anything like that. And Miami's probably not going to take him. Miami didn't have a problem with it. They took him anyway. So it's one of those things where I guess everything worked out the way it was supposed to.
Yeah, and we didn't have any trades for the first time in the top five. And I forget how many years, you know, it was. But, you know, for whatever reason, whether it was, you know, GMs just didn't trust the process, or, you know, they didn't trust the technology, or whatever the reason, you know, was, I think by and large teams did themselves pretty well. I don't look at any of the top maybe, you know, 20 picks and say, wow, that was a real reach, or wow. I mean, people criticize the Raiders about taking Henry Ruggs. Did y'all see Ruggs? One out of every four catches that he made in college, he scored a touchdown on. I mean,
that's,
you can't just
impressive.
Teach that kind of – yeah, you can't teach that kind of production.
Yeah, but, you know, there are still some, you know, that complain about the you know, the picks. That's what people do. You know what? I figured this out, Chuck, and this is, I think, the biggest problem that most fans have when it comes to the draft. We are programmed to buy – Mel Kuypers of the Mel Kuypers of the world. I'm just using his name because they all do it. But The Mel Kuypers of the world, that this guy, whomever his name is the best fit for your team. And if he's not there when you pick, then you're screwed. Your draft is screwed. So much so that right after we made our pick with the first pick in the draft, people were texting, talking about they screwed this up. I can't believe they did that. This guy is terrible. And all this other stuff, yada, yada, yada. And you know what the irony is? The next day, after we got Marlon, everybody changed their mind. Oh, that was a pretty good pick. You know, Falcons did pretty good for themselves. Because we are so programmed by other people to tell us that, hey, this is the guy that you need. And if you don't get this guy, then your draft is screwed. It's not like that. It's a fluid situation, people. And we have to just chill out and wait and see what happens. You know, it's not... The first pick is great, but you really make your bones in the NFL with those later picks, because those first picks are supposed to be no-brainers, to be totally honest. They're the cream of the crop. You make your bones when you get those later picks.
The saying is draft guys that outplay their contract, right? I mean, that's what you're trying to do is find those guys that are way better value than what their contract says that they are. Now, let me ask you a question, knowing what you know. How much BS do general managers or player personnel guys off the record feed to the Schefters and the Rappaports and the Kuypers and all that? How much kind of PR spin do NFL guys feed to those guys just to keep them off track?
You know what? I think a lot of that is guys making stuff up. Like, I'll tell the story all the time. Never used the name. But I remember sitting in the PR office when I was with the Eagles. And one of those prominent guys called and basically said they were going to make up a story. You know? And I remember the PR guy for the Eagles at the time asked him, please don't do that. Don't do that. You know, just they just didn't need the controversy. But I think a lot of that comes from maybe they have one or two people that are plugged in and they're friends with the GM where they might throw them a little something. And you know, but I think for the most part, a lot of those stories, you know, they're kind of, you know, they're smoke screens. and they're made up.
Okay,
and
hold
they
on.
Just get
you, can't,
going.
You can't just gloss. Hold on. You can't just gloss over what you just said. Hold on.
Yeah.
So now wait. Why would one of those guys? And you can go ahead and use the name. Why would one of those guys call if they're going to make up a story? Why would they even call the general manager to tell them that we're about to publish a made-up story?
Well, it was more so stir the pot. That was more of it. Not make up a story, but stir the pot. Because there was something at that time that was going on with the Eagles, and they were talking about calling and stirring up the pot. And I remember the PR guy saying, please don't do that. Just that would not be cool. That would not be cool at all. But just stirring the pot. Because I think at this level, I think that when you reach a certain status, that people automatically believe everything that you say is the gospel.
Well, I think, though, in some ways, Kiper has become the guy that I think people take him less serious than about anybody out there, and he's become like Mills Lane. He's become a cartoon character. Like, he has fully become what Frank Caliendo does as the impression of him. I think, truthfully, I mean, I like Mel Kiper. I don't have a problem with him. I never believe what these guys say is gospel, because historically, you look, they're only about right 25% of the time in the first round. But I think in a lot of ways, Kiper's become the ultimate cartoon character. Now, it's like, it's made him millions of dollars, but I think that's how a lot of people look at Kiper at this point, is I don't think a lot of people take him seriously. He just kind of does this crazy thing, and people say, who's Mel Kiper, and move on.
I think people believe him. I think he still has some draft cachet when it comes to that, and he is one of those guys that people tend to look to, because he does have the knowledge, and he does know the game. So he's one of those guys that you look at, and you will take what he says, and that would be the gospel for you. But I think that a lot of it is, you know, a lot of these guys have made their names by the relationships that they have. And basically by, I mean, for lack of a better word, telling all the business. That's how they make their names, you know. And I mean, and granted, made a great living for themselves. But they've made it from, you know, relationships that they made with these players. And the fact that, you know, they do talk to these GMs. And you know, they do get these little nuggets and everything. And I think that's how some of these GMs got their jobs, by doing some of the stuff that they've done.
Well, you know, I always describe it like this with those kinds of guys, the Peter Kings and the Ian Rapports and stuff like that. I always say it like this. You know, Hugh, those guys, Peter King, for instance, he knows more about everything going on in the NFL than you and I could ever know, as far as, you know, the thought processes and some of the moves being on and the rumor and innuendos, we say in the wrestling podcast world. But when it comes to, let's say, the Atlanta Falcons, Peter King doesn't know more than you and I do about this franchise, because we live it, breathe it, eat it, smoke it, smell it every single day. And, you know, I always say, I've watched every single play that Matt Ryan has taken in his NFL career. Peter King hasn't done that. So when I hear things about my team, like, for instance, you know, in this draft, taking safety with the first round pick, or taking offensive, you know, there was a rumor that they were going to take quarterback or offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if they took offensive lineman, if they moved up, people are like, oh, they're going to move in the top 10, take an offensive lineman. If they moved up to take an offensive lineman in the top 10, they should fold the franchise. Because what's the point of that? Of all the needs that you have, why you would do something crazy like that? So when you hear that stuff, that's where the guys that are here, boots on the ground, that live it every day like me and you, mm-hmm. know more about the Falcons. We may not know more about the NFL, but we know more about our local team.
Definitely, definitely. And that's the way it should be. I look at national guys as just that, national. And, you know, I look at some of the relationships that they have, and they've formulated with these players. That's what it is, what it is. When you want to tell me something about what's going on here, I would like to think that I do know a little bit more about that than you do. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, from a local standpoint. So, all right, Chicago Bears, Hugh, they are on the clock at 2:27. Hopefully that pick will come in. Jahi, maybe we can hang on here for a couple of minutes, because the Bears pick is in, which means the Falcons are on the clock. So the Falcons, you know, will get the Bears announced pick, and then Falcons will be coming up next. So, Jahi, let's ride this out for a couple more minutes so we can give everybody what the Falcons draft pick is before we get off the air here. So, and they're showing K.J. Hill right now. Listen, if you can get a guy like K.J. Hill in the seventh round, I think that's a I think that's a value pick, man. I mean, he's a very talented guy. So Bears take an offensive tackle out of Tennessee State, Hugh. So now the Falcons
HBCU?
Are
okay.
Tennessee State, Lachavius Simmons, offensive tackle out of Tennessee State.
All right, congratulations to him.
Yeah. So there you go. So Falcons are officially on the clock. Of course, to recap: AJ Terrell, first round pick; Marlon Davidson, second round pick; Matt Hennessy, the third round pick; Michael Walker was the first pick of the first round, and Jaylen Hawkins was the second pick of the fourth round that they had. So this is their final of six picks that they will make for the day. So we will see what direction that they go. And, you know, I don't want to say it's a throwaway pick by any means, Hugh, but, you know, it usually with this kind of pick at this late of the draft, you're looking for a specific need. So let's see what kind of guy they find at this point.
Yeah, and we're thinking the same thing. Hopefully they're going to get a punt returner, somebody like that, running back.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think you're filling a position need at this point, right? You're trying to fill a guy who can make my 53-man roster. I mean, is that sort of the process of okay, where do we have a guy that can make my roster right now?
Yeah, that I would probably say that would be the case. You know, and we're thinking maybe it'll be somebody in the punt return game. That's kind of where I'm thinking right now because, you know, like you said, that has been an Achilles heel, a sore spot for us the last couple of years. So maybe that's what they're thinking.
You know, I wondered whether or not they might even earlier in the draft in one of those fourth-round picks, and Jarvis and I were kind of joking about this the other night on Friday night as we were watching the second, third round when some of those corners started to fall. And I wondered if maybe the Falcons would have even been enticed to draft another corner a little bit later, you know, in the draft. I mean, let's face it. I mean, there's a lot of questions. Even with Terrell in the mix, you know, what is Kendall Sheffield? Isaiah Oliver's done nothing in the league. I mean, when this team can sack the quarterback, he plays well. When they can't sack the quarterback, he gets exposed and he doesn't play very well. So, you know, their need at corner for a guy to step up, especially after Trufant's been let go, is pretty high. I wouldn't have surprised me, you know, looking back, if they had drafted another corner just because of the need at that position.
I think that they got size. That's what I think the biggest thing that they were looking for. They were looking for length at that position. They did get bigger.
All right. Falcons selection, Sterling Hoffrichter, kicker out of Syracuse.
Okay.
Sterling Hoffrichter, kicker out of Syracuse. Third-team AP All-American kicker. Ray Guy Finas. Why not Rodrigo? Has Rodrigo been drafted?
You know what? I was just about to say that. We couldn't get Rodrigo with that pick.
I mean, has Rodrigo been drafted or not? I haven't seen. I haven't been able to watch every single pick. But, man, why would you draft a kicker out of Syracuse over Rodrigo when you got a guy here in town?
Can this kicker return punts that we drafted? Can he? I'm just kidding.
Wow. I'll tell you. All right. Well, listen, I mean, it's a seventh-round pick. They've got nothing invested into it. But here's what I did say, and I've been saying this, Hugh. This idea that they're not going to have any kind of competition at kicker, they're going to bring all kinds of guys in this year. They ain't going to make the same mistake twice. And I don't care. You can tell me whatever, you know, Youngway Koo did last year. He wasn't that great. It wasn't like he was automatic. This idea that they weren't going to bring in any competition for kicker was crazy because they screwed that position up royally last year, and it hurt this franchise. So a kicker out of Syracuse is your seventh-round pick, Hugh.
All right. Congratulations to the young kicker out of Syracuse, the Cuse.
I don't even know what to say. I you know.
I mean, yeah, we both were wrong. We're no Randy McMichael, that's for sure.
No. Randy Mack nailed it, man. That's why he gets a day part. Anyway, when we're wrapping things up here on Sports Radio 910 The Game. So, Hugh, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for being on today. Lots of good stuff out there. So be safe. We will talk to you here soon.
Yeah, have a great day, man.
You got it. John Chuckery, Hugh Douglas, wrapping things up. Appreciate it, everybody. We'll see you. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.